Good evening and welcome to Word on Wine, a program which explores the history and culture of the world's favorite beverage. I'm Jonathan Polevsky, and joining me in the studio, WBJC's Mary Zajac. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Jonathan.
So we're talking about some really interesting rosés that we have been tasting over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. And am I wrong, or have things changed dramatically in rosé world?
You are not wrong. I was thinking of this the other day when I went to my local wine shop. When I worked at the Wine Source, I started in 2001, we really had a tough job in selling rosé to customers who maybe weren't in the know. Everyone thought it was White Zinfandel. Everybody thought it was sweet. We had, I want to say, maybe a dozen at the most rosés that we bought for
the whole season.
For the season,
wow.
That would stay. Most of them French. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple of, we always had Moldebrasch rosé from South Africa. We usually had Krios from Argentina.
Maybe a Tavel or two?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And some Rhones, a couple from Spain, a couple from Italy. But really, there just wasn't, it was a very curated, as they say now, selection. And a lot of it was hand selling. And today I go into my local wine shop and there are labels that I've never seen before. You and I have had rosé made from Pinot Noir, made from Cabernet Franc, made from Gamay, made from, and that's just in France alone, made from varietals
Grenache.
We weren't even that familiar with. In France it was pretty much Grenache, Syrah, Sanceau, the Rhone varietals and what you would find in the south of France. It's really taken off in such a way. I'm afraid that rosé fatigue is going to set in, and I guess that's inevitable, but I hope it doesn't soon.
I think it won't, because people are getting better and better at making rosé. You know, I mean, you have to know how long to leave it with the skins. The cépage keeps getting more interesting, and we get more interesting cépages. And I think the techniques of making rosés are getting better and better. Plus, it's a great money maker for the winery. You don't have to lay it down. You can get it out that year. You can get some money in almost immediately because it's an instant sale. It looks beautiful in the glass. You drink rosés at the time when everybody wants to drink something fresh, which is, of course, spring into early summer. So I think it is tailor-made to succeed for the wine market right now.
And even though there are rosés out there that will run you up to $30, the majority of them are between $10 and $15, and those are fabulous.
Yeah.
You really don't need to go out of that price point unless you want to.
That's my feeling, too. I can't imagine that I'm going to have a single one around after November. Why on earth would you keep it? These are all wines you buy, you drink now, you enjoy. And what's also interesting is some of them are great aperitifs and some of them are great meal wines, as it were.
Definitely. I know I find myself sort of vacillating more to rosés than reds over the summer, even though I love red wine as much as I love white and rosé. But they just feel fresher, often less alcoholic, and I like that they're chilled.
Yeah, I agree. And summer ain't going to be getting any colder anytime soon.
It doesn't seem that way, does it?
For Word on Wine, I'm Jonathan Polevsky.
And I'm Mary Zajac.
Cheers.